Welcome back. To conclude my letter to the young people, I'll say this. Again, what about society? Your youth does not afford you the benefit of experience, but for those old enough to remember, they will remind you, we've always had school shootings and other mass shootings and events. There's a long history of it. Maybe you can find that online back to the 1700s. But it's being, the perception of it is being warped by the mainstream press in particular. And again, you have to ask yourself, why? Did you know that? You didn't know that there were even school shootings back in the 1700s in this country. In the 50s, we had gun safety in schools, as I said, and no shooting epidemic. In the 60s, prayer, God, the Ten Commandments were out, as Pastor Granderson Wright points out, and the gun grab deal was sealed. We got the UN and many efforts to disarm the whole world. America is unique. I mentioned my personal experience. There are stories of World War II vets repelling incursion, or perhaps you could call it expelling infiltrators. I'll leave it to the young people to search that out. Stories in this country, that is. And the bottom line is this: knowing what they knew and seeing what many of them saw firsthand, Tom Brokaw's greatest generation rightfully would never have tolerated or stood for this, which is why similar efforts in their day failed or fell flat. I've mentioned, you know, there are numerous books that you young people should be reading that you aren't. They thought they were free. It Can't Happen Here, The Gulag Archipelago, The Road to Serfdom, many books that you all should be reading. It's a critical juncture in American society, American history, American life. You need to arm yourselves with knowledge, young people. Parents, faculty, help these children. Don't lead them into a minefield unequipped. In Hayek's The Road to Serfdom, Chapter 9, on security and freedom, he makes the wise observation that the idea of economic security is no less vague and ambiguous than most other terms in this field, which is sort of along the same lines of this gun discussion. How can you ensure the security of a nation? He writes, and because of this, the general approval given to the demand for security may become a danger to liberty. Indeed, when security...
back. Not sure what happened there, but something obviously happened. Anyway, I don't know where we dropped off, but again, Hayek's Road to Serfdom, speaking of the issue of security and liberty. What is the balance? This is an age-old discussion that predates the American Revolution. And as Hayek put it, because of this general approval being given to the demand for security, it may become a danger to liberty. Indeed, when security is understood in too absolute a sense, the general striving for it, far from increasing the chances of freedom, becomes the gravest threat to it. This, again, is a point that is not lost on the founding fathers. If you go back to Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson's letter to James Madison, January 30th, 1787, right in the throes of the formation of this new government, the Revolutionary period, in that letter, Thomas Jefferson wrote, societies exist under three forms, sufficiently distinguishable. One, without government, as among our Indians. Two, under governments wherein the will of everyone has a just influence, as is the case in England in a slight degree, and in our states in a great one. And three, under governments of force, as is the case in all other monarchies and in most of the other republics. To have an idea of the curse of existence under these last, they must be seen. It is a government of wolves over sheep. It is a problem, not clear in my mind, that the first condition is not the best, but I believe it to be inconsistent with any great degree of population. The second state has a great deal of good in it. The mass of mankind under that enjoys a precious degree of liberty and happiness. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all live, the mass of us in America, under the form of government that enjoys a precious degree, the mass of mankind enjoying a precious degree of liberty and happiness? Young people, doesn't that sound delightful? Continuing, Jefferson wrote, it has its evils too, the principle of which is the turbulence to which it is subject. The turbulence to which it is subject. What does he mean? But weigh this against the oppressions of monarchy and it becomes nothing. The oppressions of monarchy versus the turbulence to which freedom is subject. And then he used this Latin phrase, malo periculosam libertatem quam quietum servitudem, which is the phrase that is loosely translated, I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery, or also, I prefer the tumult of liberty to the quiet of servitude. And he concluded that sentiment by writing, even this evil is productive of good. It prevents the degeneracy of government and nourishes a general attention to the public affairs. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and is necessary in the political world as storms in the physical. So we began under this general sentiment of the second form of government, which Jefferson outlined, the government wherein the will of everyone has a just influence. And to enjoy a precious degree of liberty and happiness, it's imperative that we maintain such a government. But many, including myself, would argue today that we've been transferred or transitioned, and that number two has been transmuted into number three, a government of force. And that everyone does not have just influence. Think about it. If you didn't have the voice, young people, of CNN and the other mainstream media outlets, if you didn't have the backing of the Michael Bloomberg and George Soros-funded groups, the leadership of some of the Women's March folks and others, you didn't have all of this machinery behind you, weren't seeing the donations in the hundreds of thousands from celebrities and their endorsement, obviously, by those publicly announced donations. If you weren't seeing all of that, would you have such an influential voice? Everyone doesn't have a voice. This is a fact that Martin Gillens and Benjamin Page proved in their 2014 study. And so what does that portend for you once you lose your platform? Is that okay? Is it okay that others don't have an equivalent voice? Today in America, I submit that it's not okay. And so, to conclude my letter, again, I would just go back to the point that I made earlier on, as well-intentioned but naive as you all are, before you allow yourself to be led by the nose into a minefield or throw yourselves on the bayonets of wolves masquerading in sheep's clothing, heartily encouraging others to do likewise, don't you think it would be wise to at least step back in prudence and consider what you're doing? And perhaps more importantly, if this is such a grave issue of injustice, as you're led to perceive, then why hasn't it long been remedied? Or again, is there perhaps something more going on here? And so I leave it to you young people and supporters to investigate for yourselves. I want to move on from there. We can open up the phone lines, 800-313-9443, again, 800-313-9443. But I want to also dive into this issue of cultural Marxism and what is happening. Again, this is sort of a continuation of the series. All of this is a continuation of the series, The Murderous Proxy, U.S. Power Elite, NME, MIC, IIC, MSS, Death Cult, aka the Masonic Brotherhood of Death. This would be part 8. And so, you know, we have a societal epidemic, but what is happening? What has happened? We've drifted from the underpinnings of reason and common sense. But, you know, we talk about the issue of cultural Marxism, for example. But what is it? What are we talking about? Well, I touched on it in a previous broadcast last week, the epidemic of backstabbing, backsliding, backbiting, regression, culture in this society today, which dovetails with the letter to the young people. Just this behavior today is tantamount to balkanization, which is also a milder yet just as virulent, arguably more insidious form of eliminationism, which I covered last week, Friday in particular. So, but then, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday's broadcasts all really dealt with that. So how did we get here? The full answer could span several broadcasts. In the simplest terms, a coordinated gradual evisceration of virtue, morality, and religion. the interest of brevity, time and brevity, cultural Marxism. Reflecting on the past 2 weeks' discussion of the subject of eliminationism as a political ideology, cultural Marxism represents one of the most subtle and insidious forms of its outworking. It's been very effective over the past however long, 150-plus years now. But what effectively is cultural Marxism? What do we mean when we use this term? And one of the latest iterations of revolutionary death cult ideological weaponry it represents. In this context, I would summarize cultural Marxism thusly. I would summarize it this way. The indoctrination through the engineering of consent, a disingenuous misnomer at best, obviously, over the course of several decades of a Marxist brand of lascivious, lawless and licentious lifestyle, generally speaking, drawing principally from the Frankfurt School, combining the worst, most erroneous, nihilistic and atheistic ideas, mainly from the likes of Kant, Hegel, Marx, Freud, Nietzsche, Pavlov, Skinner, Wundt, Fichte, Weber, and Lukács, including and especially the abrogation of individual liberty and the institution of authoritarian collectivism, with particular and loquacious emphasis placed on the futility of Orthodox Christianity and the individual versus the supreme importance of the collectivist common good, primarily to cause a shift so as to reorder society in preparation at this point for technocracy, that is, total technocratic rule by experts, and the new resource-based international economic order, transhumanism, posthumanism, and ultimately complete satanic overrun a la Genesis 6. That sounds like a lot. That's how I would summarize it. And that doesn't sound much like a summary, but I promise in studying it, that is a summary, and it's not a bad one, I would say. Perhaps not the best, but not a bad one. By lascivious, I mean the definition of lascivious. By lawless, I mean, and these all sort of overlap, lascivious, lawless, and licentious, but by lawless, I mean generally unrestrained, undisciplined, unruly, disorderly. By licentious, I mean immoral, unrestrained, dissolute, and a general disregard for propriety, accepted rules, societal standards, especially in sexual conduct. This is what we're dealing with. Some folks will mention the Jewish revolution theory and Jewish Bolshevism. That's part of the weaponry that's deployed. Stick around, more on this when we come back. Be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Welcome back. A few more points quickly on this, and then we'll go to the phones. So the terms that I used, the summary and the terms lascivious, lawless, and licentious, I think are operative terms in the degradation of society. But interestingly, I mean, a number of folks have written very comprehensively on this, and you have, you know, one of – there are several kind of pivotal moments. There's Myron Fagan's talk, for example, and many others that folks can refer to if they're not fully versed on this discussion. But interestingly, the Bible speaks out expressly against these concepts and practices, particularly in certain passages. So no wonder bad guys want to get rid of the Bible. Certain passages in particular, like Deuteronomy 28, verse 48 in particular, but Deuteronomy 28 is essential reading, I would add. The Promises of Blessings and Promises of Curses chapter. If you only read one citation, make it Deuteronomy chapter 28. Also, Ezekiel 23, verses 29 and 44 in particular, and Ezekiel 24. Romans 4, 7, 1 Timothy 1, 9, Titus 2, 4, Titus 2, 14, Hebrews 8, 12, and 10, 17, 2 Peter chapter 2, the entire chapter, but emphasis on verses 2, 7, 8, and 18. Incidentally, as I said, no wonder cultural Marxists are no fans of the Bible. Or folks that employ the weaponry of cultural Marxism, I should say. In short, borrowing somewhat from Paul Gottfried's The Strange Death of Marxism, it has become a form of cultural Bolshevism which pushes Marxist-Leninist revolution under a sociological Freudian label to the ultimate enslavement and demise of all concerned, including, ironically, its most ardent proponents. For a broad, basic understanding, here are some other definitions of cultural Marxism from around the web. Wordnik, a loose Marxist movement seeking to apply critical theory to matters of family composition, gender, race, and cultural identity within Western society. But what exactly does that mean? And you can sort of feel the subtle effects of those. indirect, implicit. Rational Wiki has an interesting definition. Urban Dictionary, the top definition, because there are several, the top definition, the gradual process of destroying all traditions, languages, religions, individuality, government, family, law, and order, in order to reassemble society in the future as a communist utopia. This utopia will have no notion of gender, traditions, morality, God, or even family or the state. The philosophy was proven not to work already by Vladimir Lenin, as he tried in vain to control and subjugate the people. He admitted before he died that capitalism was the only true system in which people understand how to live with each other. Lenin knew that there were a few Western idiots who kept spreading the communist ideas long after Lenin gave up. He called these people useful idiots, and as they had more emotion than brains and could be used to subvert the Western states for a military takeover in the future, as the citizens would already be perverted and sick and weak from poisonous ideas, decadent lusts, and mindless entertainment. That's definition number one. Some of the other top definitions are interesting at Urban Dictionary, but again, that's someone's interpretation. If there's a silver lining in all this, it's perhaps that Urban Dictionary shows a massive spike in traffic, a massive spike of traffic in recent years to its cultural Marxism entry. I think that's encouraging, I hope. Sensigent has a more helpful, comprehensive, informative definition, and I'm not sure if we have time for that right now, but maybe some of it. Cultural Marxism, dictionary.sensigent.com. Very interesting, and there's some information linked that I would encourage folks to read. You know, information on the Frankfurt School and critical theory, Birmingham School and cultural studies, critiques, responses. I don't know that it's Friday, and maybe we'll come back to this in a follow-up discussion, but I would strongly encourage folks who maybe haven't seen this to go to the Cultural Marxism entry on Sensigent, dictionary.sensagent.com. And like I said, there's all kinds of additional information that you can find there. It's one of the most helpful links, I think. On the insidious origins, infections, and metastasis of this, you can go to places like James Corbett's CorbettReport.com and search cultural Marxism. You'll find some interesting clips. You know, again, maybe we should come back to this, but exploding the collectivist agenda is a great 17-minute video. There's more. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back. Running out of time. So just quickly, you know, all this stuff kind of goes together. Again, the first hour content, but I mentioned James Corbett. More kind of educational resources on this issue of cultural Marxism and all that it portends, because obviously there are a number of sort of ancillary components. Richard Heathen's Liberty Machine News, His piece titled "A Silent Ideological," well, that's his quote, "A Silent Ideological War is Being Waged, Choose Your Side." He's done some great documentary work on this. Check that out over at Liberty Machine News. Richard Grove's work at tragedyandhope.com, you got to mention him. And the numerous fantastic interviews that he's done, of including folks like Charlotte Iserby and John Taylor Gatto, who also are essential to the discussion, essential reading, essential learning, and also sort of ancillary to Richard Grove's work at Tragedy and Hope. Folks like Brett and Blake and everybody else, the School Sucks podcast, School Sucks show, and the Unschooling Adventures, the schoolsucksproject.com. You can learn more about that there. Edwin Black's work, specifically as it relates to, you know, kind of eliminationism as an ideology. There are others, you know, I mentioned some last week in the broadcast series. The Antidote: To Be Wise as Serpents, Gentle as Doves, as Jesus advocated, and to get our focus right, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6, for example, Philippians 4:8, that kind of thing, which I've been trying to focus more on, to keep, you know, stay focused on that stuff, because there's a spiritual component of this that is not so obvious, and it's the fuel, I suppose, that all of this badness gives to evil, if that makes sense. And that's about all I want to say about that. Paul's notion of enduring with patience the conflict with others, as I would paraphrase it, standing fast, being strong, steadfast, and resolute in the courage of your spirit-led convictions. That's sort of Ephesians 6 and others. And I'll close with this, and we'll go to the phones. Actually, before I do, let me mention one of the things that I neglected to mention in my letter, obviously, is that the numbers support the fact that more guns, less crime, which is why John Lott's book, More Guns, Less Crime, many have been written, but I think, you know, John Lott wrote the book on the subject, literally. More Guns, Less Crime, Understanding Crime and Gun Control Laws. That's just a fact as well. More guns, less crime, because as Robert Heinlein put it in Beyond This Horizon, an armed society is a polite society. Manners are good when one may have to back up one's acts with one's life. I'll close with this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer's letters and papers from prison. Who stands fast? Who stands fast? The great masquerade of evil has played havoc with all our ethical concepts. For evil to appear disguised as light, charity, historical necessity, or social justice is quite bewildering to anyone brought up on our traditional ethical concepts, while for the Christian who bases his life on the Bible, it merely confirms the fundamental wickedness of evil. The reasonable people's failure is obvious. With the best intentions and a naive lack of realism, they think that with a little reason, they can bend back into position the framework that has got out of joint. In their lack of vision, they want to do justice to all sides, and so the conflicting forces wear them down with nothing achieved. Disappointed by the world's unreasonableness, they see themselves condemned to ineffectiveness. They step aside in resignation or collapse before the stronger party. Still more pathetic is the total collapse of moral fanaticism. Fanatics think that their single-minded principles qualify them to do battle with the powers of evil, but like a bull, they rush at the red cloak instead of the person who is holding it. They exhaust themselves and are beaten. They get entangled in non-essentials and fall into the trap set by cleverer people. So it's on that note that I would encourage folks to be strong, steadfast, and resolute, and not fall prey to this weaponry. Keep our minds properly focused and fixed on concepts like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, Philippians 4, 8, etc. Let's go to the phones real quick and grab William in Montana. William, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, William.
First, let me say your letter to the children is truly inspired, and I feel it contains much of the same wisdom that we see in the works of, Jefferson, Madison, Bonhoeffer, the scriptures. And I think what's really important is you really have turned many people on to the new thinkers, who have known and then freed themselves from the horrors of our digital madness.
Yeah.
And that's a group of thinkers that really have a message that we, and especially our children, need to hear.
Yeah.
I think this should become a syllabus for like a year-long course to help the new generation, to learn how to think critically and recognize all the vile and ugly expressions of ambition,
Yeah.
Especially the most insidious form masquerading as public education.
Yeah.
They need to have a lifeline thrown to them. I think one of the biggest messages, besides teaching them history and, why we have to have the rule of law and, innocent until proven guilty, due process, trial by our peers, you know, those important things. You know, one of the most important things is we need to teach the children how to overcome their soul-destroying addiction to digital technology.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Isn't that, I mean, get them out and back to the real world, you know?
Yeah.
You know, raising animals, you know, gardening, knowing what healthy food is and how to prepare it, you know, hiking in the wilds, you know, fishing, hunting, field dressing, what you harvest from the gifts that are truly from your God.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever have taken a life of an animal for hunting, if that doesn't bring you to your knees, you know, the awesome responsibility, the grace, you know, that this gift has come to you by. I mean, if you don't feel that, then you need to stay out in the wilderness a little bit longer until you become the real person that you were created to be, you know.
Yep. Exactly. And, you know, along those lines, again, you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who, you know, what happened to him, he wrote in his letters and papers from prison, "Time is the most precious gift in our possession, for it is the most irrevocable. This is what makes it so disturbing to look back upon the time which we have lost. Time lost is time when we have not lived a full human life, time unenriched by experience, creative endeavor, enjoyment, and suffering. Time lost is time not filled, time left empty."
And what is, you know, I'm almost brought to tears thinking about the billions and trillions of hours of time lost by children staring at these screens.
Yep.
You know, we need to get them out. We need them, you know, we need to teach them, you know, basic things like, you know, knowing the night skies. I mean, think of how many kids have ever actually went outside and looked up at the skies.
Yeah.
It would terrify us both if we knew just how many people. It's like, I can do that on an app.
Yeah. You know,
I can hold it like what's happening in the stars. I mean, if you even, you know, even if any of them have an inclination to know, they would look at their app. You know, isn't there a sky map that I can look at and I'll just hold my, you know, iPhone up in the air and it'll tell me, what's that? That's not knowing the skies.
No. And even the simplest
skies. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the simplest lessons, you know, the sailor's lesson, red sky at night, sailor's delight, red sky at morning, sailor's warning, those kinds of things. Even the simplest.
And, you know, what are the stars that are in the sky right now? You know, could you find your way back to town? Could you find your way to grandma's house, you know, by the stars? I mean, I knew that, you know. I had a father that would take me up there and say, okay, you're up here in the park, you know, I'm going to go down to this particular, you know, part of the park, find your way there. And then he would say, no, stay there. And he would walk away. And, you know, I was like 7 years old. It was like, was I terrified of the dark? I looked up at the stars. You know, he already pointed it out. I said, I need to go down that field because, look, there's Orion, you know.
Yeah.
And that type of locating yourself in the real world is what you don't get in school.
Yeah.
You know, none of that. I mean, you know, you got to, you know, if we could train the kids, I mean, and one of the, you know, when you start feeling hopelessness, which I think people have expressed and I have expressed myself, you know, one of the things that gives us hope is the fact if you were to talk to a child, you know, children in school, and, you know, you could just basically tell them, take a look at your teachers, you know. These teachers, do you want to grow up to be like them? I mean, these timid teachers that regurgitate the most inane gunk, I mean, that's a living example right before their face. Do you think they would say, oh, I really want to grow up to be like Mrs. Crow?
Yeah. You know,
she's the one that told us, you know, to honor diversity, that there really is no difference between women and men. You know, any farm kid will tell you that. You know,
right.
By the time they're 10 years old, that there is the world is divided into male
yeah.
and female. I mean, you know, I guess urban kids, you know, they have to learn that the hard way or something.
Yeah,
but I mean,
the world is changing, which is why now at the Olympics everyone gets a participation medal. Oh no, wait, we don't do that anyway.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, one of the things that, you know, we need to teach kids, and I would say, you know, I don't like to come out and lead with this, but, you know, homeschooling, has anyone ever thought about that? I mean, how do you fly in the face? I mean, how do you teach children virtue, you know, and honesty, you know, and critical thinking when they go to a public school every day? I mean, and they carry, you know, their cell phone in their hand. I mean, talk about having the game stacked against us for teaching
yeah.
our children how to survive in the real world.
Yep.
You know, and I would say that, you know, when you say, well, I think we may have to continue this next week, Chris, what you have opened up and what you have outlined, we're going to have to continue this for a long time into the future. You know, I think it needs to be a rallying cry. It needs to, you know, like I say, this should become a syllabus that's passed out to everyone to say, how do we turn the tide?
Yeah.
You know, how do we regain our freedom? Well, we're not going to be able to do it without great effort. You know, it's our responsibility. And if
yeah.
you see what's happening in the schools, need I say any more?
Exactly. And the young people, I mean, to them, just a little bit of critical examination will reveal to you that you're being programmed like robots. You're not, you know, honestly, you're not given the opportunity to foster your own creative inspiration. You are programmed. You learn to memorize certain things, and so if you're being programmed like robots, in simple terms, and you're all robots, then like you said, what future does that hold for them? And then of course you factor into that the things that I've also mentioned as a part of this series, like Bill Joy's article in Wired magazine back in April Fool's 2000, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us, Aaron and Melissa Dyke's documentary Obsolete, and this concept that the future is programming us out of existence as people. And so what does that portend?
And I would say that your letter to the children, all the while you were saying it, I was saying, this isn't just a letter to the children. That's a letter
yeah.
to us all. I mean,
yeah.
we too are in a mind-deadening school.
Yep.
And we, everything that we see happening to our children, if we just step back, we see that it's also happening to us. And so the pronouncements and the recommendations and the guidance that we want to give to our children, we also have to take that same guidance and that same recognition of the mess that we're in for our own activity and inspire us to, you know, to redouble our efforts. I don't know where I get it, but every once in a while the sun is shining through the window on me right now and I'm thinking, like, this is a good world. You know,
yeah.
and we have to remind ourselves of that. You know,
yeah.
what are you talking about, William from Montana? This isn't a great world. No, the sun is shining on me.
Yeah.
You know, what a gift. We have
yep.
to remember those gifts.
Absolutely. Well said.
Thank you.
Thank you, William. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these...
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, March 23rd, 2018. John Adams in his letter to Hezekiah Niles, February 13, 1818. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people. The revolution was effected before the war commenced. This radical change in the principles and opinions, sentiments, and affections of the people was the real American Revolution. And I would add, as a result, they were united in common cause of their own volition. Edward Bernays would have us believe, absent some manipulation, this is impossible. But as John Adams records, the founders proved otherwise. And I would encourage us to carry ourselves back to that moment, that unique moment in the history of mankind. Let's go back to the phones and grab Renee in North Carolina. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Renee.
You know, I have not heard one of those children say they want to do away with the Second Amendment, okay? In fact, if there's anybody that needs to be arming themselves, it's probably the women and children, because the men would rather have their tongue cut out than address the fact that most of the people, the vast majority of the people pulling the trigger are men, okay? But nobody wants to go near that. Okay, so they are the ones that they should be protecting that Second Amendment so they can defend themselves, because every day women and children are being shot to death by their own fathers in this country. But nobody wants to talk about it. The thing is, when it comes to brainwashing, it's so easy to see the other people's brainwashing. You know, throwing vinegar on these kids is not going to win them over. The thing is, you know, LBJ was a scumbag, but he was also a cunning, wise old Southern politician. And it's not just black people that, you know, people getting off looking down their nose at other people, you know. He said, if you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you picking his pockets. Hell, give him somebody to look down on, and he'll empty his pockets for you. The thing is, the white men need to understand how they have been brainwashed and manipulated. None of those kids work for the Rand Institute. We as adults have a lot of nerve cutting down those children. We made this world, and we have done nothing to fix it. And we have way more faults and have done way more wrong that we need to fix in ourselves, the adults, before nitpicking those children. And so I say, I'm sorry, but I'm really against cutting down these kids. Because, like I say, if you compare their sins and our sins, we got a whole lot more in our column before we cut down them. And I just think it's wrong. And it doesn't do any good if you throw vinegar on them. That's just gonna, you know, the young millennial women who identify as Republican is 23%. And if y'all keep throwing vinegar on those millennials, shaming them for everything, nitpicking them, that number is going to go to single digits, okay? It's just not the way. Honey works better than vinegar.
We're out of time. Maybe we'll address those points next week. The evisceration of the Second Amendment is at issue, and kids being used as pawns by the Rand Corporation is at issue. And I'm not trying to cast aspersions per se, only to inform their discretion, which I think is important before they get too far down the same path that we've been on. And I think we are doing something, hopefully, to make a change, a positive change. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. Renee, I thank you for your call. Folks, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.